Brown is a CDC assignee working with the Indian Health Service, and she is the National Data Exchange Coordinator for that effort. So, Cecile.
Hi, everybody. As Rob said, I'm Cecile Town. You can call me Mike. I am doing this presentation, but I also put the names of Cheyenne, Jim, and Amy Groom, who are with me at the IHS Immunization Program up here. We are three, and we are also all mothers of children under the age of five. So there's what you do and why we do it, and we are very connected to both. What I'm going to talk to you guys about today is sort of a low-tech but very useful way that we just took a snapshot of what is going on with our sites and IHS throughout the country with regard to working with IAS. Just some background for you about immunization, American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Indian Health Service. American Indians alone or in combination with other races account for about 1.5% of the U.S. population. And our federal healthcare system is in 35 states. We are the provider for eligible American Indian Alaska Natives, which is defined as people who are a member of a federally recognized tribe, and this is determined by the tribes themselves. We provide services via Indian Health Service, tribal or urban Indian facilities, which I'll refer to as ITUs, and about 1.4 American Indian Alaska Native people access our IHS-funded services. And we are also a sister agency to CDC, and we've been around since 1955. This is a look for you of what Indian Health Service looks like. We're divided into 12 administrative areas, and you'll see there's some states that are not included in this, and that's because there's not an ITU facility in those states. So we serve, like I said, about 35 states. I had a note about that I wanted to share with you. And each of these administrative areas reports to us quarterly. It's aggregate data, but we get information on about 25,000 of our kids every quarter. The reason, however, that we want to participate with immunization registries is that our information is, like I said, aggregate, and we want a central repository for our data, and that would be with the IAS. Our EMR is called the Resource and Patient Management System, or RPMS. It's used by the ITU facilities throughout the country, and it includes an immunization component which does many of the registry functions, tracking and forecasting, coverage reports, reminder recall, due lists, and doses administered reports. However, this is a highly decentralized system, and it exists at every local ITU. So if you have within your state five ITU sites, and each of them uses RPMS, those five RPMS sites do not talk to one another. And so when they all send information to the registry and then receive information back, then they're going to get information about the other ITU sites that their patients might have visited, as well as any other public or provider site in the state. Our data exchange initiative is basically the creation of a bidirectional HL7 batch interface between RPMS and the SIS, and this is done through the IHS data exchange software, which we call BYIM, and the HL7 communications bridge software. And with reference to some of my co-presenters talking about data quality and pre-certification, one of the things that I think is unique and nice for us is that the vendor who creates our data exchange software is the same vendor who also writes our immunization RPMS package software. And our particular developer used to be an IHS nurse, so this person knows RPMS well, has a clinical background, and I think does a good job of mapping our RPMS fields to an HL7 message so that some of these things about data coming through an HL7 message maybe being put in the wrong place is somewhat taken care of. The benefits of our interface is that our facilities can continue to use RPMS as their primary information source. It eliminates the need, as Mike mentioned, for double data entry, which they think is nice, and so do we. Data can be pulled from the IAS directly into our individual RPMS records, and the bridge software that we use automates the exchange. It saves time and provides interface continuity. So we did an IHS data exchange survey. We did it last year and this year, and here were some of the objectives. It was basically to characterize the ITU provider participation in IIS throughout the country in the 35 states, identify perceived barriers to participation, develop a technical tool for or a use for technical assistance and feedback to ITUs, and actually that was primarily why we had developed it. I just wanted a little tool at my hands to see who's using RPMS, who has the most current version of our software installed and downloaded. But what we found is, as we got the information back, we thought, you know, our state partners would really like to see, I'm sure, who's participating and who's not. And so through that, we're also tracking ITU participation with IIS, and hopefully as we continue over time. So our methods, like I said, low-tech but useful. In 2008, we sent out 24 questions via SurveyMonkey. They were distributed to by 11 of our 12 area coordinators to the IHS National Immunization Reporting Sites, and then we call that our NERS system. That was done last February. This year, we did 24 questions, slightly modified, and we added a Likert scale to look at some knowledge, attitudes, beliefs, again, through SurveyMonkey. And this time we sent it through all 12 of our area immunization coordinators. And the reason we only did 11 last time is because one of our areas had done their own survey and they didn't want to do a duplicate and confuse the sites. So this time we got all 12. And then we also distributed to tribal and urban sites that were not included in the NERS the year before. So here's what our responses look like, to give you a flavor. In the first year, about 48.5 of our sites that we contacted responded, and that was in 19 states. In the second year, slightly higher, 56.8 of our sites that were contacted responded in 28 states. And we excluded anybody who sent back an incomplete duplicates, because sometimes one facility had about three responses, and so we had sort of a system for determining which one we were going to keep from that. And I should note, though, that the responses from the non-immunizing facilities were also thrown out. We have some ITU facilities that don't administer immunizations. And for the purpose of technical assistance, we kept the duplicates in so that we can contact and follow up with people's specific questions. But for the purpose of this, we removed the duplicates. So here's our responses by the administrative areas, just to give you a sense for what we did from one year to the next. And you know, our response rate basically improved in most respects, and definitely in like the Nashville area, they were the site that, or the area that did not participate the year before. And this one, I know it's busy. I'm going to leave it up for a second so you guys can take a look. But this is our responses by state. And this is based on percentage of responses for 2009. And I've indicated the facilities in the following states on the bottom who did not respond: Florida, Iowa, North Carolina, Rhode Island, Mississippi, and South Carolina. Now, you'll see, for instance, like the state of Alabama on your far left had 100% response rate. Well, that's because there's one site and they got back to us. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but what I would like for people in individual states to look at this slide and sort of get a feel for who are responding. The ones that I thought were interesting were Oklahoma, which only had about maybe 20% response rate, and we actually have a lot of sites in Oklahoma, so that was one we would really like to see some more responses from. And you know, following this is preliminary data. If you would like to talk to us about information related specifically to your state, we can also get you that information. So we asked them some questions, and here are the results for those questions in both years. We asked them if they'd ever been contacted by their IIS, if they shared information with the IIS, and if they did interfacing, was it one-way or two-way? And over in the yellow is the percentage for the response from year to year. And we found that, you know, there's a high number of people who actually share information with their IIS, and this was very encouraging. We didn't expect the numbers for interface to be very high, but we're hoping that as we go on in years to come, that this number is going to increase. And then we asked them specifically about the methods of sending. Do you use BYIM, which is our interface software? Do you send your information via direct data entry? Do you send hard copies, flat files, or do you do something else? And you know, other could also include we don't send information. And you'll notice that by and large, people are doing direct data entry with some interface. And then there's the issue not of direct data entry, but also of double data entry. So of the people who said that they did the direct data entry, which was almost half of the respondents, 88% of those people also do double data entry. And we asked them the question, entering immunizations into two systems is a barrier to our facility participating in the IIS. About 41% of people agreed that it was a barrier. Doesn't mean that they weren't doing it, it's just that they thought it was a barrier. And then you see the other responses. Okay, so the methods of receiving information from the IIS, by and large, people are doing lookup capability. Now, I should note that sometimes people will do lookup capability in addition to operating an interface. It doesn't mean that they're mutually exclusive, but that was mostly what you're seeing. And then the perceptions were interesting. Now, keeping in mind that, you know, these are just perceptions, the people are interested in IIS. Yes, 84% agree. IIS participation is important, and that was for our facility. Having facility lookup capability is useful, and two-way interface would be useful. So the conclusions. A majority of our sites send information to the IIS. They seem to know about the immunization information systems, and direct data entry is the method most frequently used. In 2009, 88% of those doing direct data entry also performed double data entry, and of those, most, or 41%, indicate that this is a barrier to participation in IIS. And although most ITUs use lookup capability from the IIS, this number has increased from 2008, so even more people. And we would sort of expect that if there's a registry, even if you're not doing any kind of data exchange or sending information in it, you would probably be using lookup capability. And this is what we would encourage our sites to do. So where we see that people aren't doing this, we can use the survey to kind of talk to them about why not and maybe encourage them to use lookup. And regardless of method of IIS participation, 99% of the respondents feel it's useful. And although two-way interfaces account for only 10 to 11% of participation, 94% of our respondents feel that it would be useful to have. And in fact, we had some open comment sections, and we've got a slew of comments back, people asking, you know, can I contact the state directly? Do you know when the state's going to have two-way interfaces for us? So it's interesting because I think the word's gotten out, and people really want this to happen. And we feel at IHS, because of the data exchange software that we've developed and the initiative that we've been working on for years now, that we are in a position to be a good partner in an interface with the EMR that we have. So the limitations. This does not represent results from all ITU sites. We're working on that. We're working on a methodology that's going to make that happen. And it's different samples. The first year, we didn't contact some of the sites that didn't operate or didn't report to NERS. You know, we learned to do that the next year. So we have a slightly different sample. Responses are self-reported. So if we ask them, if your IIS ever contacted you and they said no, it doesn't mean that maybe Mike didn't give them a call. It just means that maybe that person wasn't the person on the other end of the phone. So, you know, kind of take that with a grain of salt, but it gives us a sense for their interaction or not with the registry. And so what we decided is after the first year that 2008 survey is going to serve as a pilot, and the refinements that we've done for 2009 are actually more robust, and so we're going to use that particular survey in the years following. The next step, this is preliminary data. We just closed the survey at the beginning of March, so we worked up something sort of general for this audience, but like I said, we can make it more specific for your needs, so it does merit further analysis. We're going to write up these results for an IHS dissemination because we really would like to promote the data exchange within IHS and make sure that we have the support of our agency, and particularly our IT, and refine the survey and methodology for 2010. And I just wanted to acknowledge again my colleagues at the IHS Immunization Program, the IHS Division of Epidemiology and Disease Prevention, our IHS Area Immunization Coordinators, and then CDC colleagues who reviewed the survey prior to its distribution. Thank you.